Welcome and thank you for stepping deeper into this conversation. In the main session, we looked at why this moment matters. And now we're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to talk about what we can do. AI isn't just another tech trend. It's a spiritual and cultural moment. So I have this question before you. This is just a live poll. It's really just fun. I actually can't even see the answers, but you'll be able to see the answers right when you answer, is where are you on the AI train? So maybe later on you can tell me where everybody lands. Are you on the bench? Are you watching it go by? Are you like trying to run to catch up? Are you a happy passenger or you're like the conductor of the train? Yeah, did you like the beach? I put that in because sometimes I just rather be at the beach. At Glue, we believe that we have a choice. Shape AI for human flourishing or be shaped by it. So as one of the other presenters talked about, Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here's the reality. AI is forming us. And the question is, are we being transformed by God? Or are we being conformed? So passive means that we're kind of like letting technology happen to us, which I feel like all of us have experienced before. We're being pulled along by algorithms and endless scrolls and whatever AI decides to feed us. And active means that we're taking a missional stance, choosing tools and habits that point people towards truth and flourishing. So I'm gonna just do a quick question of all of you. I like workshops so much more than speaking in front of everybody because then you all can talk too. So I want you to think of one way that AI is already shaping your daily life. Is it in like search recommendations, voice assistants, any ideas? I'd love to hear just ways that you guys are experiencing, just a couple of people, some AI already. Job resumes, yeah, really good. Fine-tuning lectures so they stay within your time frame. Yeah, search recommendations, so now that's coming up. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but even on Google, now you can go into AI mode. And so, and I tried something the other day where I was Googling something, and now I can get my answer faster if I chat. So we're changing from search to chat. There's some change in language that's starting to happen. Well, here's what we know. Over 100 million people use AI chat tools daily. That's a lot. The number one use case is therapy and advice, and people are asking machines questions like, how do I cope with anxiety, or who am I? Many teens are hearing from AI before they even ask scripture. And something really interesting that we know is that people are 93% more likely to text a question than they are to 10% to say it in person. So they're more likely to ask chat or text something in than they are to even communicate. So there's a really big difference between how do I fix my car and who is God? Big difference. A youth pastor recently told me that a student texted in and was like, I'm feeling depressed. And so that led to some not so helpful suggestions before they even talked to a human being. Big tech's vision, there's two competing visions. Optimize for clicks and engagement and profit. And those things from big tech, it's often built without consent and without any attribution. Glue's version of tech is that we want it to be faith aligned, so you can opt in, sources that you can trust, and designed for human flourishing. AI is never neutral. It always carries the value of its creators. If we don't intentionally create AI, if we don't intentionally train AI on biblical values, then it's going to be whitewashed by culture. Here's what we know. Jesus says that you are the light of the world. We've seen these moments before in the printing press, in the radio, and in the internet. Some led, some lagged. But the church has a choice here. If we're going to light the way and let others lead us into the dark. And so in the printing press era, we know that they printed the Bible and they brought the Bible to so many different places and cultures. So we're going to talk for a minute about flourishing as a whole person, how people are thriving. And at Glue, we frame it in these seven dimensions. We talk about character, faith, relationships, finances, happiness, and health, meaning, and purpose. So I have a question, and that is, which of these seven standards do you most see under attack in your ministry right now? So if we talk about character as far as integrity in our action, faith, any thoughts on where we see these seven dimensions under attack? That's a great point. He's saying that if we're asking AI and we're not talking to each other, then it's breaking down community. And so we're not as iron sharpens iron, right? So we're not really doing that. Any other ways that you can see? Yes, exactly. So he's saying it comes down to our worldview. So it's, we've talked about it a bit, about like a boat that doesn't have an anchor. If we don't anchor this in truth, then it could flow anywhere. We know that when something's not anchored, it can, big problems can happen. You can run into rocks or waves or all kinds of things happen when we're not anchored. So if that's, if what we're looking at isn't anchored in truth, it can cause some real problems in our worldview. Anybody else? Yes, morals, yeah. The media can move morals. I mean, that's pretty wild and so true, yeah. There's values in learning from mistakes. So if we have something that's saying this is the right answer. And I was thinking about when, I don't know if this pertains right here, but I was thinking about, you know, like I said, Dr. Bucknam has been our kid's pediatrician. And when you go to the pediatrician, there's these benchmarks of like, okay, your kid's thriving if they're like, you know, gaining weight, and they're all these different benchmarks. But do we have any benchmarks for what human flourishing is? So this is something, and I was telling my son about movies, like we have movies ratings, but now we have all this access to this stuff with like no real guardrails, essentially. And so this is something that Glue is really excited about. It's new. I honestly can't even explain it that well to you yet because it's so new to me. But this is a new standard for AI ethics. And so, as you can see, it's systematic and it's across all these, like they're able to actually measure, is this giving answers that lead to human flourishing or not? And so if you just look at this chart here, like a stoplight, and what's red means it's not, and what's green means it's doing pretty well, we can see that in finances, AI has some pretty decent answers. In faith, they're all red, all of them. So interesting, you know, where are we getting our answers and where are we getting our source? Like I was thinking, I could ask Stacy to help me learn how to teach a class or maybe how to design my home. I can ask, you know, Dr. Bucknam things about my kids, but if we don't know what the source is, what are we listening to? We have to think through some of these models. So, so at Glue, we've created these AI flourishing benchmarks. It's a framework to test AI's alignment to all of these seven dimensions. And what we found is that none of the top 15 AI models fully align. Across the board, faith scores the lowest. And this is why the church's voice is critical. Without AI, we'll drift really fast. Students are asking AI about identity, about relationships, about doubt. If their first answer that they hear is gonna be generic, and it's gonna be, it could be misleading, and it also could shape their worldview, like y'all pointed out. They're asking questions like, does God love me? A generic AI answer might be vague, universal, and often stripped of culture, just like you were saying. So we want to have a faith-aligned AI answer that's clear, it's rooted in scripture, and anchored in God's character. So this is where Glue's AI chat comes in. So the students, the questions are asking is, does God love me? And we talked about how that's the generic answer. This is why AI chat is created to be safe, faith-aligned, and it's actually free. So today, eventually, I'm gonna have a QR code here where you can connect to Glue's AI. And I just will tell you first that it's a baby. Like, it literally just launched to everybody this last week. And so it's in beta stages. But what we're doing is we're partnering with some different organizations. Like, I think I saw that the Bible app, not the Bible app, the maybe the Bible app, but for sure Bible Project, like, they connected in. So if you search Glue's AI chat, then maybe one of the sources that you're gonna hear from is the Bible Project. So instead of just going and getting a whole bunch of information from anywhere, we're connecting specifically, slowly, to different places. So things will be, we're working towards having things cited and sourced. And it's not perfect yet. And on there, you'll be able to see, because you can ask it some questions and you're like, this isn't cited or sourced or a good answer. So what you'll see, like, I think somebody told me, they asked, like, what's the history of Superman or something, you know, that was like really not a faith question. But you can go to Glue's AI chat and we'll give you a QR code to it. It's free. You can just create a login. It's gonna ask you to do that and start playing with it. Start asking it some questions. And when you notice, like, this could be better, then you can go in there and give us feedback, because we're taking all of that feedback really seriously. So we're actually asking, like, would you consider helping us make this model better? Because what we want is we want you to be able to say, hey, parents, pastors, students, here's an AI that you can go to that's trusted, scripture-informed, and ethically built. So let's be real, AI brings both excitement and concerns. So I have a few questions for you. What excites you about AI? Research opportunities. Yeah, I just heard a great podcast about somebody who's saying, I can find all these sources a lot faster, exactly where it is. Great research opportunities.
It will provide resources if you ask.
Yeah, it'll provide resources if you ask, yes. What else are you excited about AI? So you like that you can ask a question and get an answer as opposed to a list of websites. We call those dynamic, it's like a dynamic landing page where it can bring up the answer instead of having to click. Yeah. Anything else you guys are excited about? Yes. Repetitive tasks, like canceling subscriptions, things like that. Yeah, it's a way to verbally process in a sense. And it can kind of tighten in some of your thoughts and say, oh, help you think through things. I've heard of it as like a verbal sparring partner a bit. And you can, it helps you think through and even kind of solidify. I'm a really over talker, and so it's great for me. This is why I try, if possible, to stick to a script, because I could just go crazy. So what about AI concerns you? You can't believe everything that you see. Deceit, lies, misinformation. I was just hearing also that voice, recreate a voice is getting really good. So even that is interesting. Somebody actually trained AI on their voice and just saw what happened if it could call people for them. That was pretty interesting. Yeah?
Scary.
Yeah, scary. Yes, scary. Yes. Yeah, our intellectual property. That's really important to Glue. Licensing. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very hard to tell the difference between basically scammers or people who are using things for not good. I'm hearing of, especially with, you know, elderly people calling and saying, hey, I'm your grandson, and I need money, things like that, copying voices. Anything, any other concerns you'd like to talk about? What about this question? Where do you already see AI shaping discipleship? Yeah, if people are Googling who's God and they're getting a kind of universal answer, that's great. So they have a wilderness program here at Calvary, and she was able to tell AI, basically the really diverse group of people, maybe students that were coming, and have AI help to have kind of unique experiences that would connect with each of those different types of people. Eric was telling me that there was a charity, like some sort of an event where you could go and serve, and he asked it for all the different types of the nine AI or Enneagram types, what could each of these people do that it would connect to them so they would engage in this serving event? And it was really interesting to hear. Yeah. Any other ideas on how AI is already shaping discipleship? Yeah, so she mentioned that with Eric and his grandson, like helping boil down a passage so they can kind of talk about it. because I this is my job every day, I talk to churches every day for work, I'm seeing some people do some really creative things in that AI can, they have these really neat programs for pastors where there's a 9-day program and they can say, okay, I want to talk about this scripture, and it'll just bring up all this, the commentaries, all the word things that they can look up to study. And then you can actually, they can write their sermon and it can tell them on a scale of 1 to 10, like, are they using insider or outsider language? Or do you want to scale it to a certain type of person? And then once they preach their sermon, they can put that that link from their YouTube video into this AI tool called church.tech, and it'll give them 25 social media clips that are captioned and ready to go. It will give them a short summary that they can easily post on YouTube, and then it'll also give them discussion group questions from their sermon. So it's their content, their sermon, discussion group questions that then they can send out, and they can say, okay, I want discussion group questions for families that have kids under this age or this age or this age based on my sermon. And then they also can then do things like, I want a, you know, a 5-day devotional for people based on this sermon. So that's just one thing that I've heard. There's another, I should watch my time. There's another, I don't know if you've heard of the Ark Museum in Kentucky, but GLU has worked with them and helped to take in their, all just their closed information, all their research. And now if you take a kid there, a kid can have a conversation with Noah and say, hey, Noah, how old are you? Or how big is the ark? So some really cool things that you can do with AI. AI is not going away. The question is, will it be shaped towards Christ or towards something else? Practical next steps for you. So this week, I could say, challenge you to experiment safely. Oh, there's our QR code for GLU's AI. So I have it on my phone too, so I'll just leave it on the slide for a while. And if you have to walk up to get closer to it, you can. So AI is not going away. The question is, will it be shaped towards Christ or something else? Practical next step, experiment safely with faith-aligned AI tools and see what it produces. Just ask yourself, just like we've been talking, because I think ideally Eric would have been here instead of Jen, so you get me. He would call me and say, hey, here's one way. Practice using AI for a situation like this. Like, how could you, instead of being used by AI, how could you use it for good? So experiment a little bit and see if you can use it towards AI. And that question, like, why don't we invest in the next generation because we don't know what to do? Well, make AI work for good for the kingdom. Second, we can teach discernment. You guys have learned a lot about discernment today. So you could walk your staff, your students, or your family through good versus questionable AI answers. And you can talk about these ideas of human flourishing. And, you know, okay, well, is that way that you're using AI, is it leading you towards, you know, behaviors that are like towards Christ or not? And then the next one is we can model wise use. So you can show your people that AI can assist, but it can never replace spiritual formation. And then you can join a larger conversation. Give feedback to faith-based AI projects. So I would say try that. Think about all these different categories like in the flourishing model and think, okay, how could I use it for my health, or how could I use it for these areas that are move towards flourishing and God's design for us? This is more than a tech conversation, it's a discipleship conversation. So we can either let AI shape the hearts of our people, or we can intentionally shape AI so it points people towards Christ and flourishing. In October, in Boulder County, GLU is hosting something that we call Hackathon. It's a creative, collaborative space to dream up AI projects that help people flourish and make disciples. And you don't need to be a coder, but I know there's a lot of techie people here in Colorado, so you're also welcome. You can bring your ideas and be part of this next generation that didn't sit back and watch technology shape the world without the church's voice. So our challenge, our goal is to actually really be the light of the world for this moment that we're in using AI for flourishing. So, am I really early? That's the main thing that I have, but we can talk some more about different ideas for human flourishing, or y'all can ask questions too. That might be beyond my technical knowledge, to be honest, but my understanding is that I have a friend who works for a company that uses AI, and they say that they have ingested everything, every piece of information that's public, everything. And so then it's gonna raise up the common answer. Not necessarily, you probably could ask it a specific question, like you could say, give me a faith aligned, like according to Christian worldview. But if you just ask it in general, who is God, then it's gonna take it from all the information that they've taken in, not just like specific sources. The question is, how do you shape it? I think maybe the argument would be if you just asked a question like, who is God? Yeah. General, and so maybe a lot of people might just ask a general question and not really be thinking through that. And so I thought on one of the slides, it's I don't know, that it said like it gave you the glue chat AI answer. It did show that, yeah, versus, I don't know, maybe somebody can like go back a couple slides and we could read it, or we could just try it. What's the difference between glue's AI chat when you ask who is God? And what's the difference on ChatGPT? We can just, let's just do an experiment. I can do it right here while we're talking. We do have our own LLM, is what I can say. I don't know exactly. What I know is that there's a layer where it's going to raise up answers that are scripture informed, ethically built, and created for human flourishing. And so in that way, there's a... Yeah, there's a filter, but I don't think it's not a wraparound. So it's not wrapping around it. It's its own LLMs. This is ChatGPT 5.0. It says, when you ask it, who is God? It says, it's giving us different things. Christianity, God is one being in three persons, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is believed to be God incarnate. Islam, Allah is the one and only God, entirely unique, merciful, and beyond human likeness. In polytheistic traditions, many gods, Hinduism, God can be experienced in many forms and deities like, okay, some of these words, but ultimately they are expressions of the same and ultimate reality of Brahman. Ancient religions, Greek, Norse, Egyptian gods, were personified forces of nature, each with domains and personalities. So you get the idea. And then let's ask Glue's AI chat. Let me just pull it up for you. Who is God? Return, enter. Let's see what it says here. Okay, it says, a biblical perspective. Oh, and it also has these insights on the top. So in a second, I'll tell you the sources that it got this from. It says, a biblical perspective. God is revealed as the eternal, self-existent creator who declares himself as I am in Exodus 3:14, emphasizing his unchanging nature and supreme authority over all creation. Scripture describes him through his key attributes, merciful and graciousness, the Lord, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth from Exodus 34:6, holy and just. He maintains a moral perfection while extending forgiveness to those who repent, Exodus 34:7, and all-powerful and omniscient, existing beyond time, space, and he sustains all things, according to Psalm 92 and Colossians 1:17. While human perceptions of God vary, the Bible emphasizes that he is both transcendent, above creation, and personal, a loving father to those who trust Christ from John 1:12-13. His character is fully revealed in Jesus, who said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father, John 14:9. And then it says, Those answers came from Sermon Search by Stephen Whitney. So there's a pastor, Stephen Whitney, from The Missional Ingredient by Jerry Watts. Praise Is My Weapon by Don Wells. So you can like go and see all the different sources, and then you can click on them. Who is Yahweh by John Piper? So it has a bunch of different resources that are listed, and then you can click on those to go further into it. Glue is, we kind of consider ourselves like a platform. So if you imagine that you're out in the middle of the ocean and there's a bunch of people who need something to stand on, you can have all these different people come into this area, and when they start interacting on the platform, they might be like, oh, you're a cook, and oh, hey, you could do this. And so we're sort of this space where people can start to connect with each other. So I wouldn't call them customers. I would say partners of Glue are things like Barna. We have church.tech is a partner of Glue. We have churches, lots and lots of churches use Glue as a way to, they can text their people, they can do all kinds of really neat things to engage with their people through Glue. Church Law and Tax, there's outreach, there's, and then there's networks. So we work with networks at Glue where like different denominations, different groups of people can say, hey, we want to help our church. Basically, let me just back it up a second. So way back at the beginning, a long time ago, our founder, he says that he grew up on basically like landfills because his father figured out how to solve trash for one city. And then they said, well, maybe we can help solve this issue for a lot of different areas. And so helped create waste management. And so then as he became a college kid, he found Jesus through Crew and worked at a movie store and thought, oh, I think I could help bring movies to a lot of different places and helped think through Blockbuster. And so helped, so the whole idea behind Glue is we have access to all these resources for Christians. And if we bring together the collective might of the faith ecosystem, we can actually help a lot. It doesn't matter where your church is or how much resource you have. We can help get more resources to more people no matter where they are. So if we could all work together, we can figure out how to do that together. Thank you guys for your time. Thank you.